Our first case for the day is 081850, Coronado v. Valley View Public School. It's Mr. Cooper.
Good morning.
Now, everyone be sure and watch your lights.
If I may, I'd like to call the court's attention to the presence of my client, Roger Coronado, Jr., and the friend of court, Ms. Kelly Gilbert. His family is sitting in the first bleacher to the right of the bench.
Good morning.
Unfortunately, I was unable to bring an interpreter into the courtroom. I understand that it would have been a bit disturbing. Hence, tomorrow the transcript will be online and a Spanish-speaking person will interpret. Based on representations of the appellees and the words spoken by the appellees at the district court hearing, coupled with their grave allegations against Roger, the district court should have recognized, in concert with the holding in Matthew v. Eldridge, that the problematic procedures employed by the appellees and lack thereof equaled a colossal risk of an erroneous deprivation of Roger's right to a public education, Roger's right to due process, Roger's right against self-incrimination. Several days ago, the Bolingbroke High School baseball coach approached Roger, and he asked Roger to join the Bolingbroke High School baseball team, unaware that Roger has been expelled for approximately 1 year. But the baseball coach knows that Roger, for the past consecutive 3 years, has made the Area League All-Star team. Roger says he wants to be a lawyer. He said so in the district court hearing.
Can you talk him out of it?
Your Honor?
I said, can you talk him out of it?
Can I talk him out of it? I won't, Your Honor. Your Honor, or Justices, I ask you, how many criminal gang members excel in baseball and have aspirations of becoming a lawyer? He is a child. At the time of his expulsion, he had just become 15 years old. He's barely reached puberty.
Counsel, does he understand the gang signals?
My understanding is that he doesn't, Your Honor, and I've spent a great deal of time
with
Roger.
Isn't the testimony is that it was observed on him?
Was it the testimony of
yes.
Of the appellees, Your Honor?
Right.
No. The appellees allege, Your Honor, that, well, Your Honor, actually I need to back up.
I think
none of the appellees have alleged what it is that Roger did. I asked Security Officer Gavin to show me the gang signals. I asked Security Officer Gavin to give me a sense of what Roger did. And Security Officer Gavin could not answer that question. He could tell me that, quote, Mexicans and blacks were throwing gang signals. My client has never thrown a gang signal. My client has testified that he never threw a gang signal. Anything that anyone did in that cafeteria, if they were black or Mexican, according to the appellees.
Didn't both sides show gang signals to each other?
Your Honor, that's what the appellees say.
Yes, that's what they observed. Isn't that true?
Your Honor, they observed two groups of
isn't
black.
Isn't that what they stated
yes.
They observed?
Yes.
All right.
However, Your Honor, they were asked, did you see Roger Coronado Jr. throw a gang sign? No. But everyone was throwing gang signs. That's what Officer Gavin said. Yes, Your Honor.
How do we get past young Mr. Coronado's signed statement that reads as follows? I just got up and tried to see if my friends were going to need help. or something, because there were a lot of them, other guys on the their side. So I got up to help. How do we get past his own words?
We get past it, Your Honor, because Officer Hampton, under threats of violence and having slammed the door against child Michael Clinton, forced him to write that statement, told him what to put on that piece of paper. It's in the transcript at pages 66 through 70.
The trial court didn't believe it.
No, Your Honor.
That's a credibility question, isn't it?
It's a credibility question, Your Honor.
Hold, pause.
Yes.
We don't review credibility questions.
I understand, Your Honor. However, he did not voluntarily write anything on a piece of paper. And at the time that Officer Hampton...
What do you mean he didn't voluntarily? How was he forced to write something?
Officer Hampton took a door and he slammed it onto the chair of another child. He shouted obscenities in the sense of...
No, just how did he force him to write?
He made Roger think, and this is Roger's testimony, that if Roger didn't do what he told him to do, that is write a confession, that Roger would be struck. Roger testified when he was asked, what did you think would happen? Quote, at page 69, line 11, probably get hit or get slammed by the door or arrested. I don't know what would happen on that day. End
quote. And Rogers, on the other hand, said that I walked over and I lent support to his table, some of whom he knows are Latin kings. Isn't that a gang?
Yes, Your Honor.
And weren't those two gangs confronting each other in the cafeteria?
According to the appellees, Your Honor, yes.
And should the school accept that and not do anything about it? Or did they have to take immediate action so there was no confrontation?
Absolutely, Your Honor. However, the alleged gang members, and we're not sure they're gang members, that's what some of the appellees say, the alleged gang members were not at their proper lunch hour. He was at his proper lunch hour.
That's got nothing to do with the confrontation.
He doesn't know any of the alleged gang members, Your Honor. He testified at page 63.
Did Roger say that I should have acted differently and what I did was very stupid?
That's what the coerced confession says, Your Honor. That's
and especially not, when I'm not that good friends of them.
Your Honor, he doesn't
he
know.
He didn't say any of that.
He didn't say that, Your Honor. He wrote what Officer
he
Hampton...
He wrote it, though, didn't he?
Officer Hampton told him what to write. His testimony spells out exactly what Officer Hampton told him to do. He told him to write a confession. If I may...
He told him to write a confession.
Well, ordered, Your Honor.
And that's what he wrote.
Yes.
Are you saying that the officer dictated the words to?
Yes, Your Honor. That's Roger's testimony.
He did. He dictated each word.
That's Roger's testimony, Your Honor. That is Roger's testimony. I asked Officer Hampton to describe himself. He described himself as a 6'6", 240-pound man. He's a child. He's 5'5", maybe 140 pounds. He just witnessed the policeman slam a door onto the chair of another child when the police officer said to that child, you will write a confession. Most important, to address a previous question of the court, relates to whether or not a criminal process was underway. In Sonnenberger versus City of Knoxville, the individual who claimed that she had been forced to write a confession wasn't threatened until after she wrote the confession.
Now in your rebuttal time. See, you're in your rebuttal time.
Your Honor, I will save my time.
Your time, in any way you want.
I'd rather save it.
Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Kim Hartman on behalf of defendants at Belize, excluding Officer Alan Hampton. We're here today on a denial of a preliminary injunction. It's well settled in this circuit that a preliminary injunction will not be granted absent the movement showing by clear persuasion the elements. The district court, after a full evidentiary hearing, heard evidence, listened to the witnesses, seven of whom were called by the plaintiff or the appellant, and determined that a preliminary injunction was not, plaintiff was not entitled to a preliminary injunction in this case for two reasons. The first reason was because the appellant did not establish a reasonable probability of success on the merits. The second reason was because a preliminary injunction would harm the public interest. Turning to the first factor by the district court, success on the merits, the question is whether or not in the evidentiary hearing due process was given to Mr. Coronado. At that hearing, plaintiff essentially admitted to the conduct of which was alleged. He admitted to lending support to the table, some of which were known to be members of the gang Latin Kings. This cafeteria confrontation involved approximately 15 students. About half of them were on the Latin Kings side, and approximately half of them were on the Gangster Disciples side. There's
15,
no allegation.
15 doesn't divide into half that way.
Sure. Well, 6 and 7, Your Honor. Not an even split.
6 and 7 is 13, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, that's okay. This isn't math.
This isn't a mathematics class. No, you're right. The allegation is not that the appellant is a member of a criminal gang. The allegation was not that plaintiff is a member of Latin Kings. The allegation is that he stood up in support of individuals, some of whom he knew were gang members, who were throwing gang signs, shouting obscenities, and he refused to back down when ordered to do so by the security guard.
What, were any of the other students punished as harshly?
Yes, Your
Honor. Mr. Coronado.
Yes, Your Honor. In the district court hearing below, Principal Mitchum testified that there are approximately three altercations during this single day, February 4th, in that approximately 20 students were disciplined, and those that were expelled as a result of their participation in this lunchroom altercation were recommended for a two-semester expulsion.
And they all were?
They all were recommended for a two-semester expulsion.
Now we have the recommendation. What was the upshot?
What was the upshot?
Yes. How many actually served or are serving a two-year?
I believe the record indicates it's two semesters, Your Honor.
For all. And they
for
are
all.
Serving that time.
Correct, Your Honor. That is correct. The Principal Mitchum testified as to what happens when these altercations escalate in the school. He testified that there are approximately 3,700 students at Bolingbrook High School, approximately 7 to 9 active street gangs in the school, and he testified to the efforts that the school has to take to provide a safe and secure learning environment. Absent their ability to provide that environment, education becomes secondary. These type of threats are not minimal.
Where is Valley View?
It's in Bolingbrook, Illinois.
A quiet suburb.
Seemingly, Your Honor.
Ms. Hartman, tell me this. Is there any limit, do you think, to our statement in Smith versus Severn, that no delay is necessary between the time that the notice is given and the time of the discussion with the student? In other words, is it possible that in matters of great severity where expulsion or these long suspensions are at risk, that a student ought to have more time to prepare before the hearing. In other words, I'm aware that the family was told that due process safeguards could take place, but as to the one charge, that came as somewhat of a surprise. That charge of fighting mob action, that came as a surprise. Now, of course, I am aware that he didn't ask for more time to respond to that, but...
You're correct, Your Honor. The appellant never did raise that argument below. In the case that you referenced, Smith, I believe that was a suspension hearing, and therefore, in the suspension context, the amount of notice can coincide, essentially. There can be immediate notice right after the act and an immediate hearing, which could just be a discussion with a principal or school official. In terms of expulsion, plaintiff did not raise an issue regarding he needed additional time or additional notice. There was notice as of February 7th in which both plaintiff and his parents were advised that he was suspended based upon his violation of the two disciplinary codes, one regarding mob action and the other regarding subversive activities. It was later on February 11th where the school district issued a notice regarding the expulsion hearing and referenced only the subversive activity code violation. The hearing wasn't until February 19th. There's been no argument that was not sufficient time for plaintiff to prepare for the hearing, to bring any witnesses that he deemed necessary, or to present any evidence. And I think what's important was at that due process hearing before Officer Prodell, plaintiff did not testify, did not object to any of the charges. He didn't say he didn't commit the conduct. He didn't indicate that Gavin's statement regarding what he did was untrue. He admitted that he had written the memorandum of incident, indicating that he stood up to lend support to the altercation. He didn't indicate that those statements were untrue, and in fact, what he did testify to was that what he did was very stupid, and his father similarly testified that he was surprised at his son, that he understood that the school needs to address gang activity, and that he urged leniency. In this case, due process was afforded to Mr. Coronado. He received notice, and he received a meaningful opportunity to respond. He didn't take advantage of that opportunity because he admitted to the conduct. And here we are, the appellant asking the court to take a retrospective analysis as to whether or not additional protection should have been afforded. If he had been afforded an opportunity to cross-examine his accusers, I'm not sure what he would have stated because he admitted to the conduct. At no point before Officer Prodell did he dispute any of the charges. It wasn't until the expulsion was imposed that he started disputing and saying, hey, I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't admit to the conduct. I was coerced. I was forced. Gavin's lying. Officer Hampton's lying. Now, hearing Officer Prodell is lying. It wasn't until the expulsion was imposed that he made those arguments. He made them to the district court. The district court weighed the evidence, heard from Roger Coronado as well as the six other witnesses that Roger Coronado brought to that evidentiary hearing, and determined that argument was not credible, that the evidence and the witnesses that Roger Coronado brought to the district court hearing did not persuade Judge Darrow. And on appeal, the appellant has not established that decision was an abuse of discretion. He likewise has not established that the court's finding that the injunction would harm the public interest was an abuse of discretion. I see that my time is up.
Your time is not up.
But,
you have one, six more minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
But if you have a deep intention not to argue, you can do that, too.
Speed it up. plaintiff or appellant in this case has argued that a two-semester expulsion has invaded or hurt his interest in a free public education. In this case, that's not true. The expulsion will be lifted to the extent that plaintiff goes to Premier Academy, which is in Joliet, Illinois.
Where he's going now?
That is not where he's going now, Your Honor. He currently is being homeschooled. He's currently being homeschooled.
Oh.
Which?
In the middle of summer?
I'm not sure if he's being homeschooled during the summer, but at the time of the district court hearing, he was being homeschooled.
When is the two-semester problem up?
After the fall-winter semester. So as of the end of December 2008, plaintiff will be readmitted to Bolingbrook High School, at least in terms of the expulsion being up. In terms of the balancing of the interests between the plaintiff in continuing his education versus the school district's interest in combating gang activity in their schools, the district court weighed in favor of the school district. The court was, in its order, indicated that it found great credibility with Principal Mitchum's testimony that this type of activity simply cannot be ignored. The fact that Officer Gavin could not specifically state what obscenities or gang slogans Roger Coronado may have been saying, and he could not replicate the specific gang symbols, is of no consequence. He testified that every single boy or every single student who was part of that altercation was throwing gang symbols and was shouting obscenities. The act of lending support violated the school policies regarding mob action and subversive activities. There's no allegation that if, in fact, plaintiff or appellant had committed those acts, that would be a violation of those disciplinary codes. There's been no allegation, there's no allegation before the hearing board officer that plaintiff had ever been subjected to a criminal prosecution. This is a student disciplinary action. The high school is entitled and has the authority and is required to implement rules to protect the safety of the students in their school. They did so. They found the violation. They did it based upon the admitted conduct. The district court agreed with that finding, and the appellant simply has not established that the district court abused its discretion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May I ask you, is there any case law that you know of regarding the expulsion question as to what due process rights they're entitled to?
Yes, Your Honor.
What is it?
The Reamer, which was this circuit in 2002.
Where there's a year involved?
The Reamer expulsion, I'm not sure as to the length of the expulsion.
Aren't those only dealing with a short time suspension?
I don't believe that Reamer did involve a short-term expulsion.
Isn't this a matter of first impression, dealing with an expulsion of a year?
No, Your Honor.
Absolutely. Right, what's the case in point then?
No, absolutely not.
Of a year's expulsion.
I just referred back to my notes, and Reamer did involve an expulsion. I believe that it was significant in excess of 2 years, and here we're talking about two semesters.
I think Raymer, as I recall, the student was threatened with a 4-year expulsion.
I believe that is correct, Your Honor. And the argument in Raymer is that essentially excluded plaintiff from obtaining a public education for the rest of his until majority.
Your time is now expired.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Cooper. How much time does Mr. Cooper have? 6 minutes.
The case, Your Honor, is Gosby Lopez. And Gosby Lopez makes it very clear. The Supreme Court of the United States, respecting the Seventh Circuit, has never addressed, and it says it leaves open, we've never addressed an expulsion of one year or more. Quote, the student's interest is to avoid unfair or mistaken exclusion from the educational process with all of its unfortunate consequences. Gossett 579. If I may point out, Mr. Mitchum testified that he reviewed film footage, and that if he reviewed film footage,
I'm going to ask you a favor.
Would
stand in front of the...
My point, Your Honor, is that we've never seen the film footage. The film footage would represent overwhelming proof.
Did you ask for it?
I've asked for it, Your Honor. I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Did you ask for it?
I've asked for it.
Before the judge?
Before the judge, I asked Mr. Reardon to provide it.
No, I said before the judge.
I was before the judge when I asked
and
him for it.
And you asked for it?
And yes.
What was his answer?
The judge told me not to make discovery requests at an injunction hearing.
Preliminary injunction.
Correct.
That's sensible.
You still don't touch the...
I'm sorry. Justice says, my issue is, if there's a film, wouldn't you bring it to the district court hearing so that...
You haven't finished. There's still a pending case in the trial court.
Yes, there is.
All you lost was the preliminary injunction stage. There's still the injunction pending.
No, because, Your Honor, it's our understanding...
Wait. If this is a preliminary injunction denied, there is still the injunction pending. The denial does not finish the case.
Your Honor, I understand, but it's not clear even from the court record. I never asked for a preliminary injunction. I asked for a restraining order. The reason I haven't appealed...
What are we doing here at all?
Your Honor, I understand. If I may just move on, the film has never been tendered. And my guess is when we go before Judge St. Eve on July 21st and discovery is initiated thereafter.
You know, from your own brief, it appears that you haven't requested the footage.
Look
at page 3.
Your Honor, I asked Mr. Mitchum, did you review the footage? He said he had reviewed the footage. If he reviewed the footage, Mr. Reardon knew that before he brought Mr. Mitchum to the hearing. But yet they never brought the film. They have filed two...
They don't just bring the film. You have to request the film.
Your Honor, I didn't know until the hearing. When Mr. Mitchum said there was a film, I asked for it. And I am baffled as to why Mr. Reardon, representing Mr. Mitchum, did not bring the film as proof.
Why did he have to bring it for proof if you haven't filed the proper papers?
Your Honor...
And obviously you haven't, because...
It seems reasonable, Your Honor, if the allegation is that he threw gang signs and that he's a criminal gang member, it makes sense that the film would have been brought by Mr. Reardon. And it wasn't. And I'm venturing to guess that it doesn't even exist. If I may address one other issue. The penalty that Roger has thus far suffered is... People throughout the United States know of Roger. They know of this child. And they write things on the Internet from as far away as California and Arizona, but in this case, a person writing from Riverdale, quote, this kid is a known gang member and is not no angel, bad English. Another punk legally trying to get a few bucks. Have ICE send him and his illegal family back to Burrito Land.
We're here to talk about due process
and
whether Mr. Coronado has received due process
and
whether or not the case law is...
The district court was to consider the risk of an erroneous deprivation, Matthews v. Eldridge. In other words, what would happen to Roger if the court did not issue an injunction? What's happened to Roger has come to fruition. He's vilified throughout the country. He is associated for the rest of his life with a criminal gang. He did nothing except show up to school as a Mexican-American with Mexican ethnic features. Nothing more. None of the appellees can say what it is that he did. I asked at nauseam, what did he do? Judge Dara became annoyed with me. Essentially, stop asking them the same question.
You were shouting at him the way you're shouting at us.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we understand that you feel strongly. But
this is a pro bono case. I'm also a former United States Marine. I try to be somewhat commanding.
You're not in the, you know, there's
that's
not a battleground.
For you, then.
That's
very good experience.
Look, yes, Your Honor.
They can't take it from you.
I want you to understand. We have sympathy for the situation because it is a very harsh punishment. On the other hand, we have decisions from two judges downstairs, Amy St. Eve and John Dara. We have these reports. Roger was seen by myself posturing with a large group in the cafeteria who were flashing gang signs at a group of gangster disciples. He wasn't singled out. We're talking about 20 students with, it would seem, the same punishment.
Your Honor, Judge St. Eve did not participate in the injunction process. At the time she was handling Mr. Resco's trial, she asked Mr. Dara to take over. Your Honor, there is no evidence, and this is a big story throughout the U.S., Your Honor, there is no evidence that the other students were expelled. There is evidence that black and Mexican...
It wouldn't make a difference. We have to rely on what's in this record. That's all we have, and your time has expired.
Did you want to finish your thought? Finish your thought.
Mr. Mitchum testified, quote, "I never said he was in a fight. I said he was engaged in a mob action." There isn't even an agreement among the appellees as to what he did other than to show up as a Mexican-American, identifiable as a Mexican-American. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you.
To Mr. Cooper.